Daily Minutes podcast number 1635 with today's bulletin, June 1st, 2019. This is our bulletin for Saturday. Daily Minutes podcast is a podcast in either English or Dutch or a mix of both on several topics with a strong focus on technical topics like amateur radio and shortwave listening. This podcast today will be completely in English. And it was the beep of my email which I should have switched off. Today we have this week's amateur radio newsline, and as data we have one of the more recent episodes of Slow Scan Radio. These broadcasts start with an announcement, with after that the station logo in the waterfall display of FLDigi. After that it starts with an announcement in MFSK 31 at 1500 Hz. Everything in FLDigi should switch automatically when you switch on RXID on the upper right side of FLDigi. A major part of the show, however, will consist of SSTV images, which are also auto-switching, so you should also have an SSTV program like MMSSTV or QSSTV started.
Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2170, with a release date of Friday, May 31st, 2019, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A tornado destroys a Hamvention icon. Indiana repeater operators call it quits. And get ready for a global gathering in Germany. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2170 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, amateur radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
We begin our report this week as Ohio and several surrounding states recover from the destruction of violent tornadoes that left one person dead and scores of others injured. Another casualty, Hera Arena, Hamvention's former home, which was already slated for demolition. Hams, as always, stepped up to help the region in whatever way they could.
Hera Arena, which hosted its final Hamvention in 2016, is gone, a casualty of a deadly tornado that was among 40 or so that spurred the activation of Ares groups throughout the region. Stan Broadway, N8BHL, told the ARRL that the hams would remain active during the recovery process as power outages struck pumping stations, leaving the Dayton area without usable water, and put at least one hospital on generator power. Ohio Ares was operating on HF on both sideband and digital modes, and on various VHF repeaters and DMR, and the hams were expected to remain active for several more days. Meanwhile, footage online and on TV showed the remnants of Hera Arena, the venue ripped apart in the state's hard-hit Miami Valley. The National Weather Service confirmed that winds that struck around the already crumbling arena were clocked at about 140 miles per hour, classifying the tornado as an EF3. A state of emergency was declared in the Trotwood area where the arena is located. National Weather Service officials said surveying the damage thoroughly throughout the region was expected to take several days. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
It should be noted, too, that while Greene County, Ohio was hit hard by the same strong forces that ripped into Hera Arena, damage at the fairgrounds in Xenia, Ohio were reported to be considerably less. For hams, repeaters are a key component of ensuring public safety, but one Indiana group is calling it quits at maintaining theirs. Jack Parker, W8ISH, has been following the story.
Fighting physical age, increased cost, and future interest in the Indianapolis, Indiana area, the ICE Group is pulling the plug on their network of high-profile repeaters. FM and digital repeaters offering voice, APRS, D-Star, and crossband functions will cease to exist by Thanksgiving this year. The ICE Group began building their systems in 1975. According to Dale, WB9YCZ, we have tried to have a great coverage system on all of the FM bands, 6 meters through 1.2 gigahertz. Dale says, everything has the length of time to exist. The group is hopeful some younger individuals will step up and take the challenge of providing equipment and fighting for tower space on suitable sites around central Indiana. According to Bill, K9YDL, all of the retirees are looking at other interests now and don't want to commit the time, energy, or physical efforts to continue. One of those affected organizations is Indiana Skywarn, which advises the National Weather Service with severe weather reports. And one critical area of coverage is the Freetown, Indiana remote base, which links southern and southwestern Indiana communities with the Indianapolis base. For over a decade, this link has been vital to the National Weather Service in providing skywarn reports from rural Indiana communities. Bill, K9YDO, says they plan to sell the repeater equipment as each site goes dark in the coming months. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
Hurricane season is here. Are you ready? Jerry Goodrich, KF5KRN, tells us how to find out.
With the arrival of hurricane season in the United States, WX4NHC, the amateur radio station at the National Hurricane Center in Miami, Florida, has been encouraging hams to test their readiness, their shack equipment, their antennas, and computers. Part of that preparedness is a test on June 1st, encouraging hams worldwide to make brief contacts with WX4NHC, exchanging signal reports and basic weather information. The station's operation will include HF, VHF, UHF, 2 and 30 meter APRS, and WindLink, as well as the Hurricane WatchNet on 14.325 MHz. The exercise will include contacts on the VoIP Hurricane Net on IRLP node 9219 and the EchoLink WX-TALK conference node 7203. Assistant Coordinator Julio Rapol, WD4R, noted that this is the station's 39th year of operations at the Miami Center. Hurricane season runs through November 30th. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jerry Goodrich, KF5KRN.
The International Space Station's amateur radio program has lost a devoted supporter. Dave Parks, WB8ODF, has more about this silent key.
A veteran of the amateur radio satellite world has become a silent key. Keith Pugh, W5IU, who was also an ARIS team member, died on the 24th of May in Texas. According to the ARIS website, Keith embraced satellite operations back in the 1980s, and he eventually expanded his interest to include manned spaceflight missions. His interest intensified in 1991 as Soviet ham radio operators made contact with the world from the space station Mir as it orbited the Earth. That same year, Keith helped with the installation of a Soviet space exhibit in Fort Worth, Texas, and hosted a U.S. visit by cosmonaut Musa Manarov, U2MIR. In 2004, he became part of the ARIS team as an operations leader, devoting time as well to attend the ARIS international meetings. In a note to the ham community, ISS Ham Radio Program Manager Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, noted that Keith's last ARIS International meeting was a teleconference he attended just days before his death. Keith Pugh, who died of cancer, was also an avid private pilot, according to his profile on QRZ.com. The Kansas native had been a ham since his high school days in 1953. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
There's another big loss in the news. Just days after the death of World War II Navajo code talker Fleming Bouguer Sr. on May 10th, yet another of America's military heroes has died. John Pinto, who in his later years became a New Mexico state senator, had served in the Marines during the war and belonged to a group of Native American service members who created a code based on their native Navajo language to thwart Japanese interception of messages. Educated to become a teacher, he eventually served in the state Senate in New Mexico. The Democrat became one of the United States' longest-serving Native American elected officials. John Pinto, who died on May 24th, was 94. Sports fans, you don't need a wicket to be part of the Cricket World Cup. Just a rig and some airtime between now and July 14th. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, explains.
While the Cricket World Cup takes place in England and Wales, the Amateur Radio Marathon, organised by the Radio Society of Great Britain in support of the Games, is taking place globally. 9HF bands will be buzzing with international stations and special event call signs, with hams operating on SSB, CW and digital modes. The UK alone will host 31 special event stations, having GB19 prefixes, with the 2019 Cricket World Club headquarters in England, represented by GB19CWC. Listen for call signs from other countries as well, who have been encouraged to activate special call signs with the suffix of 19CWC or something similar. Denmark, Pakistan and Portugal are already amongst the main nations registered with call signs 5P19CWC, AP19CWC and CS2019CWC respectively. Logs from the special event stations will be stored in the HamLog system and award certificates will be available. For details, email contestclub@rsgbcc.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci, 4NJH.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including W7GAA, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. local time in Bullhead City, Arizona. Whether you've got a big screen or a little screen, you can consider the slow scan TV event aboard the ISS to be something big, as we hear from Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
What's on TV lately? Well, if you're in Moscow or anywhere nearby, you'll have your rig on and your eyes fixed on the big screen for a big SSTV event from the International Space Station. The RS Russia team will be using the call sign RS0ISS. RS has said that the slow scan transmissions are expected on 145.800 MHz in SSTV mode PD120. Yes, even ham radio TV has its reruns. The four-hour transmission begins on Wednesday, June the 5th at 1200 UTC and takes place again the next day, June the 6th at 1130 UTC. According to the RS Online blog, the transmissions coincide mainly with orbits over Moscow, which means that hams in North America and elsewhere are likely to miss out, but still, it doesn't hurt to try. You can keep up with the status of the event by monitoring Twitter. The account to follow is @RS in uppercase ARRISS_status, STATUS. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
It will take time for many to rebuild after the California wildfires of 2018, but hams in the affected region are already helping some comebacks. Here's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, with those details.
The impact of last year's deadly wildfires is still being felt in California. The Car Fire and the Camp Fire blazes burned tens of thousands of acres and left thousands homeless. Though hams stepped in and provided emergency assistance with communications at the time, hams are still helping out now, in a different way. A fund established by the Mount Diablo Amateur Radio Club has been providing as much as $1,000 to hams whose repeaters were damaged or destroyed by those deadly fires. The club's president, Larry Bradley, KK6QPE, told the local newspaper that the repeaters are essential to maintaining critical radio coverage throughout the region, a mission the club itself has fulfilled for more than seven decades. Larry told the Red Bluff Daily News, quote, "The club cannot help with the recovery of homes, vehicles, and similar property, but we are able to help with the recovery of certain amateur radio systems to help return ham radio coverage to the affected areas," end quote. Hams who suffered repeater losses and are seeking grants should contact the club at info@mdarc.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Radio newcomers, the Radio Society of Great Britain has a publication just for you. As we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Radcom Basics is back. The Radio Society of Great Britain's digital magazine returned to circulation on the 31st of May. The bi-monthly publication is tailored for new or less experienced radio amateurs and is free to members who complete a short sign-up form online through the RSGB shop. The first issue promises especially good reading for the season, with an emphasis on how to work portable during the summer months in Britain. Another article focuses on understanding what squares, locators and zones mean. There's also a guide to impedance and reactance and what it all means to antennas and, of course, the hams who rely on them. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Get ready for another global gathering of radio amateurs, this one in Germany. Here's Ed Durant, D DD5LP.
Following a move back after 2 years to its normal third weekend of June dates, the Ham Radio event at Friedrichshafen is expecting a wide range of traders, exhibitors and lecturers. June 21st through the 23rd in Friedrichshafen on Lake Constance, a pretty town in the scenic countryside near the borders of Austria, Switzerland and France, in the very south of Germany, will see the 44th running of the Ham Radio International Ham Fest in the top expo centre of Europe, the Friedrichshafen Neue Messe. These dates usually bring sunshine on all 3 days that can be enjoyed in the beer gardens and on the lawns, but all exhibitors and traders, including the flea market, are inside the Zeppelin-sized halls. In any case, the Zeppelin airships were originally built near to this site, and from the airport next door, you can take a Zeppelin ride and operate aeronautical mobile. Lectures throughout the 3 days take place in the conference rooms within the same large building, and include topics from SDR Academy to Contest University, from SOTA to Digital TV, from the QO100 satellite to new data modes, from antenna design forums to youngsters on the air, and lots more. More national societies are represented at Friedrichshafen than any other international hamfest, and all of the large manufacturers are represented alongside smaller companies from all over Europe. To find out more, check out hamradio-friedrichshafen.com. For Amateur Radio Newsline, already starting to pack for the event, this is Ed, DD5LP.
Ham showed up recently at one polling place in rural Pennsylvania, but they weren't there to cast ballots. Heather MB, KB3TZD, picks up the story.
Ham's got the vote recently in French Creek Township. The rural community in Pennsylvania needed Ham's help to transmit election returns from a polling site inside a local church to the Election Bureau at the county courthouse. The church where voters turned out for the recent primary election lacks landline telephone service, so another means of filing the results had to be found. The Election Bureau Director Jeff Greenberg told the local newspaper that making use of hams, their radios, and repeaters provided an affordable way to get things done, saving public officials hundreds of dollars that would have been spent installing the phone lines even on a temporary basis. He also said it was a good opportunity to test the emergency response capabilities of the town. The Mercer County Amateur Radio Club, Auxiliary Communication Services, Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Services, and Amateur Radio Emergency Services were elected to serve. Not as candidates, but as communicators. Mike Varga, NR3C, said the hams worked three-hour shifts in turn at the church and at the courthouse itself as the day's balloting went on. Frank Giannetti, Mercer County Public Safety Director, had suggested the county use the hams for the elections based on a local official's previous partnership with them during a pandemic drill conducted by health agencies. Clearly, the hams got the county's vote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
In the world of DX, be listening on June 6th as members of the Torbay Amateur Radio Society in England operate a chain of 5 World War II special event stations to mark the 75th anniversary of Operation Overlord and the D-Day landings in Normandy. The Torbay hams will use the call sign GB75UF, operating above Brixham Harbor in Devon. Other operators include the South Dorset Radio Society, GB75OF at Omaha Beach, the Southampton Amateur Radio Club, and Soton University Wireless Society, GB75GF at Gold Beach, Itchen Valley ARC and Waterside New Forest ARC at GB75JF at Juneau Beach, and Fort Purbrook ARC, GB75SF at Sword Beach. Visit the TARS website for frequencies and other details. That's torbayars.org.uk. We end this week's report by celebrating the achievement of a bright YL in Texas, Catherine Forson, KT5, KMF. Catherine has just been appointed the ARRL's North Texas Section Youth Coordinator. Section Manager Steve Lott, KG5VK, who supported her nomination, couldn't be prouder. By definition, a youth coordinator doesn't necessarily have to be a student, but Catherine is. And the 15-year-old's scholastic achievements include successful competition in the district, regional, and state levels of the Texas Science and Engineering Fair. Catherine told Newsline in an email that although she loves Field Day and working special events such as the Plano Balloon Festival Station, she is committed to supporting radio's involvement in various public service activities. She said one of her big challenges in her new role will be introducing people, especially young people, to amateur radio's excitement. Licensed since 2003, Catherine upgraded to Extra last summer. In her new role, she'll be upgrading her commitment, too. We here at Newsline congratulate Catherine and wish her well. With thanks to the Amateur News Weekly, ARISS, the ARRL, the Associated Press, CQ Magazine, Dayton Daily News, eham.net, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, KATV Channel 7, Legacy.com, National Hurricane Center, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ.com, the Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSL Radio Show, Radio Society of Great Britain, the Red Bluff Daily News, the Sharon Herald, WFMJ Channel 21, the Wireless Estimator, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, the Xenia Gazette, Youngsters on the Air, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline at arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2019. All rights reserved.
Daily Minutes zijn dagelijks vanaf ongeveer 1900 uur te beluisteren. De uitzending wordt een dag later om 10:30 ochtends herhaald. Alle mail is welkom op het adres x@xdv.me. Dat is ook te vinden rechts bovenaan de webpagina van de uitzending www.pa0ete.nl. De Daily Minutes toont iedere dag weer aan de hand van schokkende voorbeelden hoe een hobby mensenlevens kan veranderen. De internetfaciliteiten en studiohardware voor Daily Minutes worden gesponsord door 70MHzShop.nl. 70MHzShop.nl.
Whoever hears this is crazy.
This podcast is made by myself. I'm Peter John in English Media. Title music is by Croatian artist Blaschko. You can find this podcast on dmpodcast.net. DM is for Daily Minutes and on several other platforms.
En microfoon naar retour.
This is Slow Scan Radio. Good afternoon, this is Peter John. We bring you experiments with slow scan TV images, mostly photos, and also several kinds of data transmission using FLDigi. We have a show sending some data and mostly SSTV images. The images can be received with your normal radio. The easiest way is to use a smartphone, holding it simply close to the receiver speaker. You will need an app like Robot 36 for Android or CQ SSTV for iOS then. There are also good programs for PC. More info about that you can find on our website www.slowscanradio.com. www.slowscanradio.com. For the data, preferably use FLDigi, although other programs most probably will work as well. Slow Scan Radio is copyright 2018, excluding rights of featured items and any music. Website is www.slowscanradio.com. Mail address is xray@xraydeltavictor.mikeecho.com.